It is no exaggeration to say that life for families in the 1950s in Australia was a little bit different to what it is today, from the bland British-style food to the near absence of women in the workforce and, of course, no smartphones or computers to help you with the recipes. Day-to-day existence in the 50s was a bit more challenging, some would argue. Now, one Australian family has agreed to live as families did in decades past for the new ABC TV series Back in Time for Dinner.
Imagine what it would be like to give up your modern life with all its trappings and culinary comforts and take a trip into the past. Well, one food-loving Australian family is about to find out. They're sacrificing their smartphones, their supersized takeaways and flat whites, and plunging back in time to cook, eat and live through 60 years of Australian history.
The ABC's Annabelle Crabb. The program is Back in Time for Dinner. She's back in time for breakfast this morning with us. Good morning and welcome to breakfast.
Hello, thank you. And I'm very pleased not to find spam on the table.
There's no spam on the table. Did you get a coffee at least, maybe, on the way in?
Yes, thank you.
Explain the concept, because I've seen the promo a lot of times and I think in reading about it, it's the first time I've actually understood how this whole thing works.
Well, this poor family, the Ferones, who are a Sydney family, were recruited. They were found in a shopping centre. They were out shopping for shoes and got sort of recruited to be part of this process. The program involves them handing over the keys to their house, which is a sort of modern open plan living, you know, bifold doors out to the backyard sort of a house. They leave their house and the production company went in with art directors to restructure the inside of their house as a 1950s house,
right,
which means, as you can imagine, getting rid of all of those open spaces, boarding up the back, putting in tiny little corridors and a tiny little dining room and a tiny little kitchen and a tiny little sitting room.
No groovy galley kitchens with
and
shared
of course,
benchtop spaces.
In the 1950s, at the beginning, you didn't have fridges either, and you had a copper for washing in, which was also in the kitchen, and no telephones, no TVs and all that sort of thing. So the first moment that this family walk back into their new house, 50s style, is actually captured on camera. Like, you see them freaking out about what happened to their old house. And they have to live in that house for a week, cooking the food of the time, using only the appliances of the time, living by the gender norms of the time as well, which for our family, and they are incredibly patient and enthusiastic, and I would have gone crackers after about 2 weeks, but they really held up. Was quite tricky because in the Ferone family, Peter, who's the dad, does most of the cooking. But in the 50s, Carol loses her job as an executive coach, which is what she does in 2018, and all of a sudden is having to be chief cook and bottle washer for this quite.
So you're forcing the gender roles
right
onto them.
They're just living the way they did in the 50s. And
they cope?
Well, you'd expect Carol to lose her mind in this circumstance, and she duly does after about a day and a half, because she's, you know, she's up early in the morning making porridge, getting everybody out the door, making the all of the meals of the day, doing the washing up, doing the laundry, doing the sweeping without a vacuum, all of that stuff that is such a quicker job today with all of our labour-saving devices. So she, quickly feels what it's like to feel as though she's trapped in the kitchen where she can't see anybody either. It's a little sweaty room where nobody comes to visit, right? And but the interesting thing is that Peter finds it really depressing as well. He feels isolated, cut off from his children. He cycles to work every day and comes home after the kids are in bed and gets served his dinner.
Because he's a very engaged, involved contemporary father normally, but suddenly he's removed.
So it's funny, you know, like, I don't know, I grew up in the 70s, right? And in the manner of children everywhere, I assumed that things had always been the way that they were in the 70s and they didn't really start to change until I, you know, started growing up, you know what I mean?
But that was happening forever before that.
And I think when we tell our kids about what it was like when we were a kid, like, it's intensely boring, right? Like, anyone tries to lecture you about what it was like before we had mobile phones or whatever, you see them switching off. What this show does is actually just show you. And it picks up not only the tiny, hilarious details that lots of people will recognise and feel a sort of stab of recognition at when they recognise it from their own childhood. I mean, I walked into this the 70s house and nearly fell over because I was just like, well, I remember that sofa. My friend had that wallpaper, that clock, so familiar. But also I think the ability to see the change from decade to decade and just see how quickly we evolve as humans, like almost frighteningly so.
Are you surprised at things you've picked up from those decades?
Yeah.
That when you go back and are confronted with them, you think, oh, that was actually better then.
Well, yeah, actually. So in the 50s, one of the big differences, I mean, they had rationing still post-war. So you were eating dripping on toast rather than butter because butter was still rationed. Sugar was still rationed in the early 50s in Australia. But also it was a much more thrifty lifestyle, right? Like, I mean, you didn't have a cupboard full of snacks. You didn't have a fridge, so you weren't going back for leftovers. You cooked exactly as much as you needed to feed your family. You went shopping every day for fresh food. And there was no kind of wafting into the kitchen and seeing if there was something to eat just because you're kind of bored or lonely or feeling a bit miserable. Like, there's none of that. And I think the contrast between that and our modern life, which is full of giant supermarkets, many aisles of which are devoted just to food that is about giving yourself some sort of transitory pleasure, and all this packaging and all of that is just, it's really confronting.
So you've done Kitchen Cabinet, you've done this program, Food at the Center of Both.
Yeah.
What is it about food, do you think, that helps us understand people and ideas differently?
Well, I think that food is, it's both a demonstration of an iteration of our culture, and it's also a driver. I mean, in Australia, we're really lucky making a show like this because we have these waves of immigration that are quite clear and that brought significant foods and lifestyles with them. So our palate in contemporary Australia is built by these quite distinct waves of immigration. One thing I've got to say, like, that I did that really hit me over the course of making the show is that we, as Australians, we just embraced these cuisines that came with waves of immigrants from overseas. I mean, in the 50s, you still had to buy olive oil at the pharmacy, right? Like, I mean, and yet it's a huge part of the way we cook. It's a basic now. And garlic was thought very freaky when the Italians brought it in the 50s as well. But the one cuisine that we really haven't adopted with the same enthusiasm is the indigenous cuisine that was here before European settlement. And I find that just tragic and sad and also mystifying. And I think it's got to do with the way those first settlers thought. They looked around and, you know, like the view was...
They didn't say things of value.
That this was a forbidding land, that it was, you know, a tough, harsh landscape. And what that really was a failure to listen, to understand and to see the richness that was here. And I think we're still doing that.
All right, I'm getting in trouble for talking to you for too long. So good to go. I can't wait for the crossover project of politicians being sent back in time to the decade that they claim was better than what we have now.
I'm already compiling a list.
Back in Time for Dinner begins tomorrow night on ABC TV after dinner at 8:30 p.m. Annabelle Crabb, thank you very much.
Thanks, Amy.